Ready? In 3, 2. What's going on, Dutch Nation? Today we have someone very special with us. His name is Phil M. Young from the DB Studios. Oh my gosh, on the couch. What the heck? Hi, Phil.
Hey, what's up?
Well, you're in here finally on the red couch.
You reeled me in.
No, seriously, though, why have you been dodging the red couch so much lately?
Dodging it.
Uh-huh.
Whoa. Well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying that's how it's.
I did take the red couch to Portland. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. You're strong.
Actually, that was Jameson. But well, I mean, I like to let my actions and my art do my talking.
Yeah.
And I'm not big into public speaking. Which this is weird. This is not even public speaking. This is like a whole nother
this
thing.
Is a different kind of public.
But I'm not I really value one-on-one communication or a small group. And so just speaking in a broadcast kind of setting is new to me and kind of I don't know, I just tripped on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So and honestly, if I'm being honest, I got grandfathered into Dutch Bros, so I sometimes think that
is that because you're old. Is that what
yeah? Well, I didn't.
Is that
I,
an old
by
joke,
that
though?
I mean, I am kind of older, but I didn't work in the shop, and so sometimes I feel like I minimize. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, what can I contribute to a barista who? It's a false argument in my mind, but it's been a kind of an excuse to like,
well,
you know, let's let people who've been in the shop and who can relate to that setting speak to that the nation, you know. Really? So that's probably part
of
it.
Well, line 7 of the creed today, we're talking about to forget the mistakes of the past and press on to the greater achievements of the future. So I can understand that you didn't have that experience in the stand, but the Dutch nation already knows that you've made plenty of mistakes.
Absolutely.
No, I think that's one of the things that I wanted to wrap with you about because you have gotten to see a lot of changes. You've been here for 4+ years now.
Yes.
And you started in 2012 with the 20-year anniversary video.
Yes. Yeah, that was a good introduction to Dutch Bros.
How? I mean, did you come through the stands? Did you get coffee before?
I didn't
be honest.
I didn't frequent Dutch Bros.
Wow.
I'm just being honest. I was put off by the dude bro. and I'm a questioner.
Can
I'm
we
a skeptic.
End this podcast? Is that cool? Can we be done? I'm just kidding.
No,
go on.
I'm a questioner and a skeptic just by nature. Like you know, these guys could attest to that. But I'm always like, what's your angle, dude? What you know, I didn't get it. But I didn't go enough to break through that skepticism. You know, and part of it is I'm kind of frugal too. So I, you know, buying a coffee 3 or 4 times
right,
a week isn't
just something I do. Just make it at home.
So, but when I had that experience shooting the 20 year and just hanging out, just chatting with people, some people I knew because I grew up in, I went to high school in Grants Pass.
Okay.
Hidden Valley actually, which is county school. So
I'm a North Valley Knight myself, so this is going to be interesting.
Oh, shoot.
Just kidding.
Go Mustangs.
But I don't know the Knight fight song, but I'm sure it's awesome.
But as I hung out and interviewed some people, like several people, it started painting a different picture of Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
And kind of blew up some of my preconceived ideas about the company.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
What do you do out here exactly, just so everybody can...
I direct the Dutch Bros Studios. I guess the buck stops with me with everything we produce, but I just work with some really talented guys who bring a lot to the table, and we just basically we're sharing culture and preaching culture and trying to build the culture internally and externally with what we do.
Well, and you're not just kind of, you know, you're also getting your hands dirty with it. Editing it and actually capturing the footage and doing all that stuff too. It's not
well,
lucky.
Actually, I don't really shoot a whole lot anymore.
What?
I know, because you know Daniel and TJ, they do the lion's share of the shooting, and they're great at it, which is weird.
Yeah,
it's a weird. I've definitely transitioned in my position here, going from shooting and editing and traveling like constantly to now, helping these guys do a lot of that. I don't know where I'm going with that, but.
Well, it's definitely changed a lot.
It has, dude.
And being a part of that, well, with being a part of, you've gotten to see it. You know, you weren't in the stands. You kind of come in. Now you're out here at HQ every day. But you've gotten to see a lot of the changes that have gone on in the past. And I think that's one of, you know, getting to directing it back to the line in the creed is is to forget the mistakes of the past and press on to the greater achievements of the future. How do you, what, I mean, you know, you've lived this life. You've kind of gone through these things even before Dutch Bros and stuff. And you've made, we all have made mistakes and stuff. How do you do that? How do you press on to something? How do you get over a mistake?
Well, I don't think you ever forget a mistake, but I think because there's a lesson that you learn from whatever it is, whether it's a mistake you perpetrated or something that maybe a wrong that you received upon yourself. But you know, Trav always talks about failing forward, like taking, you know, punches to the gut and learning from them, right?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this last night because oftentimes I constantly think about failings that I've received, which is weird. I'm just shooting from the hip here. This is unscripted, but that motivate me to be a better person personally. Like,
I'll just kind of interrupt here. Are you talking about mistakes that others have made, kind of? Is that what you're talking about?
What I choose to do with what I've been given, like that's a part of it. So and maybe that's not where we want to take this.
Well, dude, we're going with the flow of this. We're, you know what,
Let's start a little lighter. I mean,
yeah.
Mistakes I've done, things that I failed at. This is a little weird, but I'm trying to think of a tangible example. Like, spit some out, guys.
Oh, well, obviously, sometimes at openings when I'm up there and I'm like, let's watch this video, Phil. And then it's like, hey, Phil, can we watch the video? And you're still, and it's just like, really? You know, and I mean, okay, even let's talk about something fresh. The 21 Pilots interview, right? And you're over there in the corner like, cut it. And I was flowing with these guys and it was great. And I'm like, all right, well, that's all the time we got. And they're like, well, we could keep going. And I'm like, well, no, Phil over there says no.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, whatever. I'm just saying.
I just wanted to have power for a second.
Yeah.
Amen. I was actually, the manager told Evan to tell me.
You don't ever listen to Evan. That's the mistake right there. We identified the mistake. I think, just to bring it back. Here's a simple one. And okay, when I was younger, I would help when we would get stock delivered to the warehouse in Grants Pass. Now this is when there was only, you know, maybe 10 stands, you know, maybe 15 stands in Dutch Bros, which is crazy. The past, mistakes of the past, is we're doing this, and how we would do it is we get the boxes of our syrups for our flavors for the drinks, and we would cut the tops off with a box knife.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think I was a junior in high school, sophomore in high school, and I learned this. This is a fail I did. I'm cutting towards myself, and it catches on the corner. So I like kind of pull harder in it with this box knife, and I slice my arm, probably about an inch slice right into my arm, and I'm like, oh, and it just fillets open.
Yeah,
and it's like there it is, exposed. Massive muscle exposed, you know, because that's all that is on my forearm. And so my dad's like, oh, I'm like, oh, and blood starts just like oozing out. And I'm like, oh, and he's like, throws me this dirty grind rag that he throws me, put this on there. So I throw it on there, you know, go to the hospital. I pull the freaking grind rag off and it's so gnarly and gross. And it's like, bloop. So I learned a couple things. A, when you cut yourself, put something clean on there. But B, do not cut towards it. Cut away.
Cut away.
I learned that lesson. And it was a mistake, but I have this scar on my forearm that forever reminds me not to do it. And I think that is like these mistakes that we make in our past.
Yeah.
they stay, a piece of it stays with us so that we can always look at it and go, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to, you know, I think it's almost like there's like a thorn in your side. This thorn in your side is a reminder to not make the same mistakes.
Not go there again.
You know, because that thorn is like, oh, because even like, I like kind of like, you know, you kind of on a scar or an injury, you're like, oh, I remember that. That was not, it's kind of like, I don't want to push on my scar because it kind of makes me cringe, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of like that thorn in my side in a weird way. So I can press on to the greater achievements of the future, which is cutting away, guys, cut away. But also being more, I think, aware is a huge part of that. You know, what am I doing? I mean, the greater lesson for me was to pay attention to what I was doing more.
Yeah.
Sorry, there was an example for you. You're deep in thought.
What, dude? I'm a little tripped out.
Tell me
well,
about, yeah,
no,
what's going on?
No, because I feel like I'm talking to an audience, and it's just...
You're not. You're talking to me.
I'm talking to you. I'm trying to get in that space.
You know what? It's okay. You know what? That I forgive you. How, okay, here's the question though. How do you, like, what do you do to overcome it? Because, I mean, maybe it does stick with you in your head for a bit, but how do you kind of go, okay, we got to make this better?
So, I don't know. I mean, I could relate it to a lot of things. You know, one thing I really enjoy doing is surfing.
Yeah.
I like being out there because it's risky. And there are points of failure all around you when you're in the water.
Yeah.
So you could fail physically, like just your condition. Like if you can't hang, you can fail. And so that's a lack of preparation.
Yeah.
You can also fail because you're at Mother Nature's mercy. Like you could be conditioned and primed to be out there and you still just get worked.
Yeah.
Like I did. I was surfing with TJ a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I took the board in the nose on a wave. And I usually when you wipe out, you cover your head. You like cover your face, put elbows out in front of your cheeks so that when you're tumbling in the wave, wherever your board is, which is attached to your body, doesn't hit your head, right? You're protecting your head.
That makes sense.
I've been surfing for a while and you just kind of forget stuff. You get comfortable. You get comfortable with the risk and then you stop protecting certain things or you stop taking certain actions that protect you. So when I wiped out on that wave, I didn't go into that kind of, it's almost like a, I didn't cover my head and I took it in the face and I get out of the water and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm bleeding. Well, that's a point of failure that I'm like, oh, I've learned that lesson before. I need to re-engage that part of my brain. It's not going to keep me from paddling out again.
Right.
You know, so if you're open to failure and learning from it, you can just move on. Like success is not the only way up, I guess is what I would say. Failure can be a way up as well.
Yeah.
So I look at that. I look at my kids a lot because I have three kids and I fail a lot. Like I'll lose my temper in a way, or I'll speak to them in a way that's not, you know, that's just me kind of being impatient or angry. And I usually recognize that like within, you know, a minute after I do it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, dude, I screwed up. And the tendency there is to be like, well, I'm the dad, so
it's okay.
I can do it.
Right.
But I really have to go, no, this is... Just because I failed there, now it's a chance for me to demonstrate humility to my kid.
Yeah.
And go say, okay, I was out of line.
Yeah.
You know, and ask my kids to forgive me, you know. So I guess it's what you do with failure. You let failure knock you down and push you further away from people and push you further away from your goals, or do you let you let failure put you in a place of humility where then now you're able to learn from that failure and climb the mountain.
Well, I think that's a great point, is that in order to go to that, to the greater achievements, you have to kind of make a mistake. You get upset and temperamental with your kid, and then you realize that it's not good that you did that. And that's great. And you could just leave it at that. And it could be just that, and that's it.
Right.
You know? But in order to like kind of, yeah, I think of like Superman, right? When Superman takes off, right, to fly, you know, he like you see the ground around him shaking. You see everything like kind of rock, little pebbles moving and all that stuff. And then right. all of a sudden, poof, there's, you know, he's like absorbing and then shoots you off. So he's like, you got to have that place of humility, which kind of can like, and then it can launch you right. to something. Because that lesson that you teach your kid is way greater than just acknowledging that you made a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, I think in the creed when it says that to forget the mistakes of the past, it's not to say like they never happened. Right. I don't think it's that. I think it's like, don't get stuck
right.
in the fact that you failed at something. Right. Don't get stuck there. And I think what happens is people are afraid to fail. People are afraid to make mistakes. And so they don't go to an uncomfortable place. And so in doing that, because humility is uncomfortable. Humility yeah. sucks, you know? And so they don't go to this place of humility in order to launch them into something greater, which is to teach your kids a greater lesson, which is A, humility, but B, like that it's okay to be wrong sometimes. Yeah. Like, and you're showing them that. Because if you show them that all you ever are is right, that's now guess what? That's what they think. They're going to be raised in that. And now they're going to, oh, all they are is right.
Yeah. Oh, you know, if I demonstrate humility to them, it models humility for them to demonstrate to me and to others, you yeah. know? And so, I don't know. Kids are great. If you don't have kids,
go make some. It's unreal.
Make sure you have one.
It's awesome. Trying to make kids is great.
I wasn't going there, but what's a...
That's a mistake you made, Phil. It's a huge mistake you just made, and we're going to press on. I'll be humble for you right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Kids are a huge teacher.
They are, man.
And, I mean, even in the studio with these guys, like, these guys aren't kids. They're all men.
Yeah.
But I find a lot of times, like, I'll fail to delegate something.
Yeah.
And then I'll find myself stressed in a way that maybe necessarily unnecessarily. So, yeah, just delegating as a leader is humiliating for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it is for a lot of people because everybody wants to think that I can do it all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You think you want to be in control. You think it won't get done right. It won't get done your way. And it won't. It won't get done your way. But the thing about the team is that if I care that I get the credit in here, then I'm going to be a control freak. But if I care that the team is going to get the credit, then I can let stuff go. And that's one thing I'm learning right now.
Yeah.
Is it's not about me. Like we say, we know, I don't know. That's a lesson I continually come back to is, you know, life is not about me. Life is about what I can help other people achieve.
Yeah.
So if I try to control the outcomes in the studio constantly, I'm going to fail. But if I can help the team achieve the outcomes, then we all succeed together.
Yeah.
And it's not about me at that point. It's about the team and it's about building the culture and about Dutch Bros.
You know? Well, and I think probably one of the, how you come to that understanding though, is probably something slipped.
Yeah.
Something, there was a mistake that happened.
Yeah.
And then you learn from it. And you have to come to this place again, which is interesting because reading that, I didn't really ever think of humility as a thing, you know, as it. But it really is a big launching point for that great, I mean, because we're talking about, you know, to forget the mistake of the past, but to press on then to the greater achievement. Well, in order to get the greater achievement, somebody, you have to be a little, it can't be about you anymore.
No. Yeah, you got to realize that success is in serving other people.
Well, and then it doesn't matter about your mistakes anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's that's kind of, and you're going to continue. And I think that's the beauty of life is that you're going to continue to make mistakes.
Yeah. And by making mistakes and pushing forward through them, you give other people permission to make mistakes too.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully you inspire other people to take risks and take challenges on that they wouldn't and fail. Or succeed, but at least, you know, you model a life that inspires.
Yeah.
You know, like I want, you know, I always come back to my kids because they're my biggest teachers right now, but I want my kids to see that I fail so that they know it's okay to fail.
Right.
And in failure, there's forgiveness and humility and then just dust yourself off and keep and get going again.
Yeah.
You know, if we walk around feeling like we got to be perfect, like I got to execute the perfect shot or execute the perfect video all the time, or I, you know, I got to wash my car perfectly with my, or my kids have to wash the car perfectly with me, or,
yeah,
or, you know, I'm trying to relate that to the stand, but I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure our listeners can relate that in the stand.
Yeah.
If you're expecting perfection all the time and you start walking on eggshells and no one's having a good time, no one's,
well, you can't, it, you can't relate to perfection because you're not, no one's perfect. And so if you're, you go, hey, like I need this to be perfect. You're already setting them up to fail. And then now it's, they have to come to this uncomfortable play. It's a funky circle. I think it's a big thing though, because it's bigger than in the stand. You know, this isn't limited to like, oh, being in the location and stuff. I mean, it's life stuff you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Because there comes this with this expectation to be perfect. Like, you know, this is kind of it might be hippity dippity for me, but I feel like media, and marketing and stuff, it puts out this thing of like, even our movies that we watch and stuff, like, oh, this is how it should be. This is what it should be. And when you have that expectation of this is what it should look like and this is how it should be, now you have this standard or this ideal that you try to achieve and it's not yours anymore.
Right.
You know? And so now instead of being willing to, because the thing is like, a mistake for you is going to be different than a mistake for me. You know, I'm not going to see it that I might not feel that as a mistake. I might feel that as like, I think that's a victory, friend.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or vice versa, you know. And so I think mistakes kind of mold us into who we are as people. And so with that, though, and like if we continue, like people are known for their mistakes, too. Like if you make the same mistake over and over and over again, guess what? Like that's what you're known for, dude. Like that's like, hey, guess what? Here, oh, there goes Phil who never... he doesn't wash his car right, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Here goes Phil, who never replies to my text. That's that's one I struggle with because I do that. I make that mistake of not replying to texts a lot.
Right.
And because it's just because I'm a jerk, you know, I can't. But you know, like when you have this, when you get known for your mistakes, that's what stinks. And that's basically saying, hey, you're not learning. You're not coming to a place of humility.
You're not progressing.
No.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
It's kind of like, you know, like when you're editing a video, you could edit it into eternity, you know, but it's when you stop, when you finally say, this is done, we're going to put the video out. Those mistakes that you see in your brain actually become the aesthetic and the beauty of that piece.
Yeah.
Kind of like, and maybe that relates to people in the sense that we are all imperfect. And obviously, we don't all want to continue to make the same mistakes, like continue to struggle with the same thing over and over and be known for, oh, well, there goes Phil the non-texter. But being quirky is still not being perfect. But I think our quirks, what I'm trying to say is grow from your mistakes, but let your quirks still show.
Yeah.
Like be known for being quirky and imperfect because that adds an aesthetic to your personality.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
and be okay with being imperfect.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I think that's the struggle that I don't know. I'm no longer this young person, you know, I mean, I'm not old by any means, but, I understand being young and trying to be perfect. You know, I remember trying to be, and then finally being okay with imperfection and okay with mistakes. And then being able to then refine myself from that, you know, and I guess not refine myself, but to grow from those things and to go, okay, hold on, wait, where do I want, how do I want to be, how do I want to act, what do I, you know, and so I think that, you know, making mistakes is a vital part of being human.
Yes.
You know? Well, if you had to say anything to the Dutch Nation about, you know, forgetting the mistakes and pressing on to the greater achievements, because that's the one thing that I think that people, there's so much to achieve. You know, there's a lot to learn.
Yeah. I would just say, you know, if you think you need to be perfect, stop. Put on humility when you make mistakes. Be quick to forgive others for their mistakes, and also be quick to forgive people who offend you. And really, that's just really about being a servant.
Yeah.
You know, serve each other in that way.
I mean, I think in a huge way, that's just how love is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And if you just put on love, man, and it's okay to make mistakes. And man, I tell you what, that is the greatest gift that this world has, is love. Yeah. So if we could just, I mean, that is the greatest achievement ever, is to love, to be loved and love someone else. Mm-hmm. You know? I love you, Phil. I'm
sorry. Come here, let's
hug. Come here, hug it out. All right, well, Phil, thank you for taking time away from your filthy life. You know, well, I mean, at work. You have a filthy work life. I've seen it. You're listen, okay. Can we just talk about some of the mistakes real quick, just to lighten this up a little bit? Okay, first off, for the first few years, Phil didn't even have a trash can in his office. What the heck is that about? Mistake number one. Mistake number two, I'm just kidding. Thank you, dude, for being here. Appreciate it. And I know that thank you for finally delegating to these guys, because things were getting a little mistakey out here at Dutch. No, I'm just
true that.
All right, Dutch Nation. Well, we thank you for tuning in, and we hope that you guys are living a life of mistakes, but more importantly, a life of that greater achievement, which is love. So go out there and love each other, right? Let's be lovers, not perfectionists.
Yeah.
Sounds good?
Sounds good.
Phil just agreed to be lovers with me. Is that weird? All right. Peace out, Dutch Nation. Stay up. Holla!
You all right? Dude, I don't know. Whatever. If you guys don't want to run that, don't run it.
Oh, you wanted it to be perfect?
No.